Okay, we can say this about yesterday. They made it interesting, but your 2017 Red Sox came up short, falling 5-4 to the Houston Astros in Game 4 of the ALDS at Fenway Park. Despite some heroics from pitcher Chris Sale, a big home run from Andrew Benintendi, and an inside-the-park homer from Rafael Devers in the bottom of the ninth, no less, despite all of that, in the end, the better team won, so the Houston Astros move on to play for the American League pennant. And the Red Sox and their fans, well, they'll have all winter to figure out what went wrong and how to make this team better. Joining us now to talk a little bit about that is WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Hey, Shira.
Hi, Anthony.
Good to see you in here. And also with us is Boston Herald sports columnist Steve Buckley. Steve, good to have you. Welcome back.
Good to be back, and good to see Shira swinging a pickaxe at Fenway yesterday like the old days.
Is that what that was? I was wondering why you left here with a pickaxe. Okay, so I don't know where to start here, but let's talk about the ninth inning. It felt like something big was going to happen, an inside-the-park home run by rookie Rafael Devers. Before we look forward, Shira, that must have been an exciting moment at Fenway Park.
Yeah, I mean, you get the crowd on its feet, and you think, this is it. I mean, it had that sort of karmic feel to it when you have an inside-the-park home run, a rarity in baseball, and you thought, all right, this is a special moment. Something special is going to happen here in the bottom of the ninth. And then Pedroia grounds out to end the game and the season.
So, Steve Buckley, this is the second straight year the Red Sox won the AL East Division and second straight year that they were eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. What's your sort of take on what happened to this team, or how do you sum them up?
Well, unfortunately, this is Boston. And
fortunately, depending on your point of view, but go ahead.
And a lot of times when a team wins a division title and goes out in the first round, it's still seen as a happy moment, a climb up. For instance, in Minneapolis, the Minnesota Twins were the wild card team this year. They were a horrible team last year, and they've got a Hall of Fame manager in Paul Molitor, and they ascended to the wild card perch. And I'm sure that if you wandered through the Twin Cities right now, people would be very happy with the season the Twins had. This is Boston. It's a high payroll. It's a team with annual expectations to go deep into the playoffs, if not win the World Series, coupled with the fact that all four teams have won titles in the 21st century, including five by the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So fighting a good fight, glass half filled, silver linings. None of that, unfortunately, applies to the Red Sox, which is why we're here right now, firing a manager and, you know, front page of the Herald today, my column and all that. I think it's kind of fun. It might not be fun for John Farrell right now, but I think at the end of the day, you want to play in a city where people are that passionate about baseball. So therefore, there are no silver linings, glasses half filled, and life lessons. It's all about they didn't go deeper than people wanted them to go. Therefore, there must be where we are right now.
So, Steve, I want to talk to you about your column today. But first, let's hear John Farrell in a post-game interview. He was asked if he believed he's the manager to take the Red Sox to the next level. In other words, is he going to be around next season? Should he be? Here's a little bit of what he said.
Personally, yes, I feel confident in that. I know that we've got an opportunity to assess where we are as a team. I can't begin to talk about what the offseason plans are and what the changes that may be realized. But still, there's a lot of good things that are going on here.
So, Steve, you wrote today that it's time to fire Farrell. Why?
There's two roads you can go down. One is strategy, the actual button pushing and X's and O's, and then there's the entire mood of the clubhouse. And they did win 93 games, and they won the AL East. But there was, I think, a disconnect with reality with this team this year. John Farrell, and I've beaten this to death, but after David Price had his first big blow-up with the media, Farrell's response to say was to say that accountability is a two-way street. And then that's a nice thing to say to defend his player, but I never felt there was any accountability by the Red Sox this season, right up until the very end when Pedroia finally said, hey, we weren't good enough. But you went from the David Ortiz clubhouse, which was loud and brash and exciting and running up and down the streets of Boston saying, hey, I'll come see us play, you know, symbolically. It turned into the David Price clubhouse, which was moody and defensive and insecure. And I think that manifested itself to the degree that in my travels throughout the city and I hear it every day from people. I don't like this team. Well, they do like this team. They just don't like this addition of the Red Sox.
And that's right. They don't like it as much as they used to. Sure. What do you talk to Steve or tell me what you think about this idea that, I mean, because there's this sort of funny idea in baseball that when a team doesn't do everything it should or is expected to do, you can't fire the whole team, so you fire the manager.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. You know, after the game in the clubhouse last night, you saw John Farrell going around and talking and hugging some of the players and shaking hands. And I don't know if that was for sure. Show, but it certainly looked like he had a decent relationship with most of the players on the team. And I'm always curious, and maybe, Steve, you can answer this, but one of the things that fascinates me about pro sports is there comes a time inevitably when a coach, a manager, loses the team. And I don't think it was just, you know, the way he handled the David Price incident, you know, in midsummer. I think there's more to it. Do you have any sense from having covered this team throughout the season when it was that Farrell, it seems, lost the team or lost control of the team?
Well, I'll answer that by saying something I say often. In sports media, it's not uncommon for a newspaper or TV station or radio station or whatever to front its person who covers the team as a quote-unquote insider. We all do it. The Globe has its insider. We have our insider at the Herald and all that. But nobody is truly an insider because we get such a small look at the team during those moments when they are made available to us. Behind closed doors, that's when you have to be an insider, and we are not inside. So exactly when it happened, the way you can make the little check mark in the timeline, I honestly don't know. I'd be guessing, but it was clear to me last year. He made some interesting, quotes, moves with lineup changes and pitching changes and so forth, and we saw that in this postseason where he started Devin Marrero, who I think he's evolved into a utility player, over Rafael Devers, who's an exciting young player who needs to be in there every day.
Man, I love watching him play. I just love watching him play.
And just to not answer your question, but to go back to something that you said at the beginning about Devers' inside the park home run and how much excitement there was in that, I still say one of the most exciting moments in my teenage years was going to a game at Fenway, and John Kennedy, who had just been acquired the day before in his first at bat at Fenway, hit an inside the park home run against the Cleveland Indians, and I was there. I'm like, wow, inside the park home run. There's something when a guy hits a home run, we watch the flight of the ball into the stands, and we stand up and cheer. And from that point on, after the ball goes into the stands, it's all we all do it by muscle memory. We stand up and we cheer, and the guy rounds the bases and all that. But with an inside the park home run, there's such an air of anticipation because you see the ball carom go to the right, and your very first thought as a baseball fan is, oh, my God, this might be an inside the park home run. And you see it build and build and build. He rounds third, and he scores. And Scherer was absolutely correct. At that moment, they were back in this game. They're down by a run. They're going to win this game. They're going to win the World Series. And then it all comes
and all.
I like how you go from they're going to win this game to they're going to win the World Series. That's very Boston.
So we're down to we've got less than a minute to go, and I want to make sure I get this question to both of you. What happens? Is this team better next year? Steve, we have sort of about 20 seconds to answer that question. So give me your quick thought about that.
If they go out and get a bat, they have to build the offense, but I think the pitching staff in place, if David Price can give the Red Sox a full season next year, what we saw glimpses of this season, he becomes a dominant pitcher. Chris Sale, I think Rick Porcello could bounce back. Don't forget there, Stephen Wright will miss most of the season. The building blocks are in place for a really good pitching staff, and pitching staffs win games.
All right. What do you think, Cher?
I'm going to agree with everything Buck said about the pitching staff, and then I'll just throw in the youth movement. You've got, as we've mentioned time and again, I don't think you'll be hearing this. You can't hear this name enough. Rafael Devers, 20-year-old, that baby-faced slugger, you know, with the inside the home run, other dramatic moments. You've got Andrew Benintendi. You've got Mookie Betts. I mean, you like the core and the youthfulness of this team going
forward.
All right.
Lots to build on. We've got to say it. Wait till next spring. Steve Buckley, Boston Herald sports columnist, and Shira Springer, WBR Sports and Society reporter. Thank you both for today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. What is it, 120 days till pitchers and catchers report? Something
like
that?
There we go. Right around the corner. That's it. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.